And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, I'm working on your financial freedom. Today is a very exciting day. Over the weekend, something interesting happened, and it was a result of something that Tina and I agreed to do a little while ago. So what am I talking about? What am I getting at? What did Tina and I agree to do a little while ago? Well, we agreed to sell the last of our single family houses. Now, the problem with trying to sell the last of our single family houses is that the market where this particular house is at is in a buyer's market, meaning the buyers have the ability to be very picky, very choosy at the type of property that they want. And we had the property priced at a point where we were looking for entry-level buyers. One of the challenges that we had, however, is that even though we had people come and look at the property was a former rental property, so it kind of looks a little bit like a rental, but it's what I would call a diamond in the rough. Everything is functionally working well with the property. It's got new plumbing. It's got new foundation. It's got roof repair. It's got a new air conditioning system. It's been completely painted on the interior. All the little quirks have been fixed in the property. Now, the kitchen and the baths, they look nice, but they look like they might be a little dated. And that's what we left on the table for whoever wanted to buy the property. So as time went on, we had the property on the market. We were marketing the property. We'd have people come look at it, and then we'd get feedback based on the fact that, yeah, it seemed to be priced right, or they didn't like the way the kitchen looked or the bathrooms looked or anything like that. All right, so what does all that mean? What that means is that we had buyers looking at our property. That means there are still buyers actively buying property in the marketplace, but they just kind of didn't approve of our property, or they found something else that they liked better. So what Tina and I did was we decided we would adjust the price downward a little bit more, because where we were priced specifically to get entry-level buyers, and we were finding it difficult to compete for entry-level buyers, and we didn't want to drop another $15,000 into a kitchen remodel or a bathroom remodel because we didn't feel we'd get that return on investment for doing that. So we wanted to leave it more of a, we'll call it a contractor's grade type of property. So what does that mean? It means that by lowering our price a little bit, by getting it down to where investors start to look at properties, we opened up the market to different buying options. And what happened over the weekend was, because we had lowered our price a little bit and we offered a concession, we offered a 1% concession to whoever wanted to buy the property, we found a investor who is interested in buying the property. Now, this investor, they came in with a very, very low offer. And Tina and I, well, we rejected that offer, but we countered the offer and we came back and we gave them a little bit of a concession on the price, and we gave them a little bit of a concession on contribution. In other words, we were willing to front them some money, give them some money out of the proceeds to help them get qualified for the loan. Because what we found was this particular investor was qualified to buy the property, but they were pretty much at the maximum lending limit. And what we agreed to on a price was a price that was above their maximum lending limit. That meant they needed a little bit of an assist. So the assist is we concessioned some money back to the buyer, which allowed them to remain qualified in the lender's eyes. And as a result of that, we are selling the property. Now, the investor that's buying my property, he's buying my property with a methodology that is completely different than what we do at Lifestyles Unlimited. And the first thing that he is doing differently is he's buying a property literally at retail value. Now, I've given him some concessions. I've left a little meat on the bone for him. He's not paying full ARV or full appraised value because he's a fellow investor. I'm going to give him the opportunity to make a little bit of equity capture. But the reality is this. There's not a whole lot of delta. There's not a whole lot of difference between the purchase price and the after repair value or the appraised value of that property. So he's paying full retail value. He's not capturing a lot of equity in the property. Okay, so that's one of the ways that I made money on this particular asset is I bought this property and I bought it at a discounted price. Okay, this investor who's buying from me is not buying at, well, he's getting a little bit of a discount, but he's not buying at the great discount that I bought at when I purchased the property. The other thing this investor is getting is he's getting a property that's ready to go. It is ready to go. It is fixed up. When we took over the property, we went through the property with a fine-tooth comb, and we made sure that every system in the property had a lifespan of at least 5 years or more. Now, immediately, we recognized there were some severe problems with this property. The foundation, it was like a roller coaster in this property. Yeah, and this property is a foundation that is set in concrete. It's not pier and beam. It is a concrete foundation. So even concrete foundations need to be leveled, and this one needed it pretty badly. So we brought in our foundation expert. That was the first person we brought in, and we made sure that the floors were completely leveled. The next person that we brought in was our plumber, because in fixing those floors, or I should say that floor, and in doing all of that work, we disrupted some of the sewer lines that were associated with the property that were going underneath the concrete slab. And as a result of that, the plumber needed to tunnel underneath the slab to get to the pipes. And when he got to the pipes, he realized that, hey, you know what? All your stuff down here, it's 1950s vintage. It's all in really bad shape. And it would cost you more money to replace what's down here than to just put in new PVC piping. So he gave me a bid for that. I price checked him. He was spot on. And I had him do all of the piping repairs. So that property has brand new sewer line going from the bathrooms and the kitchen all the way to the street. Yeah, it's all brand new. So this guy is never going to have to worry about, well, I never say never, right? Knock on wood. But for at least the limited time that I own this property still, and for the time he takes over the property, he's really not going to have any sewer problem issues. Now, I didn't have any water supply issues. That issue was a non-issue, so I didn't have to deal with it. Water supply was fine, so the plumber only had to deal with the waste system, which he did. The air conditioning system on this property, air conditioner, if I remember correctly, was something like 20 some odd years old. It was tired. It was worn out. It had been band-aided together, and it was the old Freon system, meaning there was no Freon available to replace the Freon that this particular system lost. And there's no way in heck I was going to keep this particular AC system. So it had to go. So it went. So I brought my AC contractor in, and my AC contractor redid the HVAC system in the house, and he added ductwork, which didn't exist in a bonus room that was added onto the property long before I became the owner. So we had to put that ductwork in. That ductwork was put in, and it was good to go. Now, the only thing that I am mildly concerned about with this property. Now, the guy's going to get a 10-day option period, so he has the right to do an inspection. He can have his own inspector come in. He can do it himself. Whoever he chooses can inspect the property, and they can give him a report of what is good, bad, or ugly. The only thing that I'm potentially concerned about is there may be some issues with the electrical side, because that's not something that we felt we had to tackle when we took over the property. But we've owned the property for several years, and you never know what could happen. You never know who's been in your property and who may have messed with the wires. Not that that happens, but it could happen, right? So at the end of the day, the only thing I'm worried about is an electrical inspection and making sure that, you know, it's not something more than, well, this ground is off, or you need a GFI here, or something like that. And at the end of the day, since the guy is, you know, getting a really good deal on the property. I did come down on my price a couple thousand dollars. I did give him a couple thousand dollars in concessions. I think that, you know, if the only thing that pops hot on the inspection report is the electrical and it's minor stuff, I think he can go ahead and take care of that electrical stuff and he can go ahead and close on the property. The other thing this guy is doing is he's coming in with a conventional loan. And it's a 10% down loan, meaning he's taking out a loan for 90 cents on the dollar. Now, at Lifestyles Unlimited, most of the conventional loans that we put on the property are at 75 cents on the dollar. So what he's doing is he's leveraging the property a little bit more. Now, I kind of ran the numbers and I looked at, will this property support leverage at 90% based on the sales price of the property? And lo and behold, to my astonishment, it will still provide probably about $100, $150 of cash flow to this guy. So he's not necessarily buying a property that's going to put him in negative cash flow. So like a Lifestyles Unlimited investor, he is receiving cash flow on this property. He would have a 75% debt ratio as opposed to a 90% debt ratio. And the other thing he would have done as a Lifestyles Unlimited member is he wouldn't have paid the price, the retail price that I'm asking for the property. He would have paid more of a wholesale price, and he would have been looking for things that were wrong, not things that were already repaired. So at the end of the day, this guy's still getting a pretty decent deal, but he's leaving a lot on the table doing things the way he's doing them. We come back from the break, more on this concept. Stick around.
Got questions? Call Lifestyles Unlimited at 855-497-4335. The Real Estate Investor Radio Show continues next.
Lifestyles Unlimited member Chad on the life-changing rewards of real estate investing.
Whenever you have residents coming in thanking you for taking what was dull and drab and turning it around, making their lives better, that's definitely a blessing.
Become a life changer today with Lifestyles Unlimited. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297, a 60% off savings. Lifestyles Unlimited. Text radio to 88007.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the second half of the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, I'm working on your financial freedom. And I thought I'd make my voice rise and fall there like, you know, I was like an operatic singer. And so that's just how I have fun when I do my radio shows, because at the end of the day, if you're not having fun, if I'm not having fun, this is not a productive radio show. And I know that I hit you with a bunch of math earlier in the show, and I apologize for that, because I know sometimes math can sound like I'm just droning on, kind of like it sounds like I'm just droning on right now, right? Yeah, you get my point. Now that I have all eyes on the chalkboard, let me talk to you about the rationale for why Tina and I decided to sell this single family house. Now, this property was producing $400 a month in cash flow for us. Yeah, we were making $400 a month cash flow, which works out to be about just shy of $5,000 a year. So now that we're selling this property, that $5,000 a year, it's going to go away. But there's something else that we had to take into consideration when we made the decision to sell this property. It has to do with something called our rates of return, and more importantly, something called return on equity. In other words, what you do is you take a look at what your equity is doing for you. And we had a lot of equity in this property. Even though we were making $400 a month in cash flow, we had a ton of equity sitting in this property. And as a result of that, our return on equity was dismal. It was. I mean, if we looked at the investment from a return on equity standpoint, we were making less money than what Del Walmsley, our founder and CEO of Lifestyles Unlimited, is saying you can make in the savings account market. I think he said that he's seen savings accounts that are pushing out like 5.25% interest. And I believe that given what the interest rates are in the current economy. So our problem was we weren't making a 5.25% return on equity on this asset. So that triggered in our minds, it was time to sell. Now, we chose a very difficult time to sell this property. We chose a hardcore buyer's market. And even though I had many Lifestyles Unlimited members tell me after the first couple of months on the market that maybe I should just pull the property off the market and turn it back into a rental, hold it for a little while longer, our goal was to get the property sold. So we stayed on the market. We dealt with the market conditions, and we finally have found ourselves an investor that wants to buy the property. And we've left enough meat on the bone for the investor that it's still a viable investment option for him. So it still is going to work for whatever it is he's trying to accomplish. Now, I've already pointed out earlier on the show that he's buying in a modality which is completely different than what I teach you how to do on this radio show. Does that make sense? Okay. So at the end of the day, he's doing what he needs to do. He is helping me because he's helping me to offload a property that I no longer want. And let me just tell you one of the other things that we were looking at that were decision points for us to make in order to sell this property. I already told you the return on equity was not great. It was less than 5%. So that was like the big red star cluster that was going up saying there are other places your money could be other than debt equity in this particular house because you could be making more of a return on investment if you had your money elsewhere. So that's why we decided to sell the property. We also were looking at how much money we invested in the property. If I remember right, on this particular property, we migrated something like $37,000 into the property, and that came from a 1031 exchange off of a duplex that we sold. I believe that property was in the Kansas City, Kansas market. And so we migrated the money over on a 1031 exchange, which meant that we deferred all the taxes. The tax liability moved onto this property, and now we're selling this property, and we're netting like close to $67,000. So that indicates to us that we're getting approximately 75% return on investment based on the equity contributions that this property provides. And if you take a look at the cash flow over the last couple of years, if you add the cash flow on, we're getting over a 100% return on investment. That is a decision point for us when it comes to selling property. We want to sell any assets that we have that have doubled our money. Does that make sense? And this property has doubled our money in the form of cash flow and in the form of equity participation. So as a result of that, that triggered a sell signal in our mind. The only thing we had to endure was a very difficult selling market, but we endured it and we made price adjustments along the way to ensure that we were attracting the right kind of buyers. And once we realized that we had a lot of first-time home buyers coming through the property, but they weren't willing to pay what we were asking for the property, we reduced the price a little bit. I'm not talking about a lot of bit. I'm talking about a little bit to make it available to these types of investors that are out there that do business in a completely different modality than we do at Lifestyles Unlimited. And they're fine with it. They're fine with it. And I'm fine with those types of investors because those types of investors are willing to pay retail prices for assets, and that's what I'm marketing the property at. I am marketing the property at a retail price, and I am still commanding a retail price on the sale of this property. But this property is still going to do some great things for the person that buys it. He's still going to make the ability to have natural appreciation. He's still going to have the fact that I'm allowing him to capture a little bit of equity in the property because I'm selling to him at a price that's a little bit below the after repair value or the appraised value. I think when the appraisal comes in on this property, he's going to be really, really happy. I think he's going to be ecstatic on this property because I think the appraisal is going to come in a little bit higher than we estimate. Now, some of you are thinking, wow, Al, doesn't that mean you're leaving a lot of money on the table? Doesn't that mean you're damaging yourself? And at the end of the day, I'm telling you no, because I'm still doubling my money in this asset. That's what this asset was intended to do. That's what the long-range goal for this asset was. It was designed to double our money, and now we are harvesting our money out of the asset. And part of the reason we're taking the money out of the asset is because our return on equity is not that good. We could be doing better buying real estate. Yeah, buying different forms of real estate. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to take that money that we receive from closing in about 3 weeks, and we're going to go out and buy ourselves some more real estate. Now, some of you are thinking, well, now you've set yourself up for capital gains taxes. So you're going to pay capital gains taxes on all of that tax that you deferred, and you're also going to pay capital gains on the additional equity that you achieved in this property. And I'm here to tell you, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. And some of you are going, yes, you are. Yes, you are. And I'm here to say, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. And you're like, prove it. Okay, I'll prove it. All right. So here's how I'm not going to pay any taxes on that equity coming out of this property when we get it closed in about 3 weeks. I have a lot of depreciation that has been built up based off of other investments I have used. I am not a real estate professional. I do not identify as a real estate professional. As a result of that, I can only use so much of the depreciation that my real estate assets provide to me. And if I don't use the depreciation, they literally go into, it goes into like a little jar. It just sits there and it waits for me to need it. And this is one of those times when I need it. So I'm going to use that depreciation that I've been building up to offset my tax liability. And as a result of that, I'm really not going to pay any taxes on the sale of this asset. And it's all completely legal. It's all completely legit. Yeah, it's all completely legit. So what do I do with the money that I windfall in about 3 weeks when I close this property? Well, I could go out and buy some real estate assets. I'm actually looking at three different assets, single family assets that came across my desk over the weekend. One I can buy cash out of pocket for $16,000. One I can buy cash out of pocket for $9,500. One I can buy cash out of pocket for $17,000. If I were to buy all three of these properties, it would require me to have $42,500 of cash available to buy these properties. I am receiving well beyond $42,500 on the sale of this asset. So do you understand what I am doing? I am looking at the potential of taking one asset and turning it into three, possibly four different single family assets. And all of these assets produce cash flow. The first asset produces $333 per month. The second one produces $290 per month. The third one produces $317 per month. That would give me a combined cash flow over a five-year period of over $56,000. That's pretty cool, right? I mean, think about it. This is why you sell your assets and you buy replacement assets with that money. You don't go out and buy boats. You don't go out and buy jet skis. And the reason you don't go out and buy those things is because those things do not provide an income. But here I've got three different assets that showed up in my inbox over the weekend that I could buy with the money that I'm achieving by selling this particular asset. So I could turn one into three, potentially four, maybe five. There is the potential to get five different single family assets out of one single family asset. It's pretty cool, right? But check this out. What if I go into the multifamily space? And what if I buy the asset as a lead investor? That's going to require me to put down 10% of all the capital that I raise, in which case I'm leveraging 90% of all the capital that's raised, and then I'm putting up to an 80% loan on the property. I am effectively leveraging that investment immensely. And if I'm buying the right asset, I'm going to use something called forced appreciation to push the value of that property up, thus thus increasing the overall value of the property, increase the cash flow, increase what that property can do for me, and I have all the units in one place, one location, and I can have my fellow Lifestyles Unlimited members invest with me, thereby sharing the return on investment with them, giving them great returns on investment like I can give myself. It's a win-win situation. So what I've been explaining to you is what happens when an asset comes full circle. This asset has come full circle for Tina and I. It's an exciting moment in our household. It's a difficult market to sell in, but there are still buyers in a difficult market. That's the big takeaway that you need to understand. Even if you think the market is difficult, there are still people out there that are engaged in trading properties in the real estate market. And we just happen to find the right investor who is looking to trade into our property. We left him some meat on the bone. We're giving him good value for the type of investing that he wants to do. I don't agree with the type of investing that he's doing, because I think by negating the fact that he's willing to do renovations on the property, he's really giving up a great opportunity to capture even more equity than what he's doing right now. See, he either just doesn't understand our way of investing, or he's just opposed to it. I mean, there's no other way to put it. Or he just doesn't know. It's very possible he just doesn't know. Maybe after the transaction, maybe I could show him that maybe this wasn't the right kind of asset for him to buy. Maybe what he should be doing is what we do as Lifestyles Unlimited members. Because even though he's coming in and he's putting 10% down, and I'm helping him with that cash contribution, he's not capturing all the equity he could capture because he's buying a property that's all fixed up. That's the flaw. That's the flaw in his investing methodology. Now, am I going to tell him that right now? I mean, am I going to pick up the phone and call him up and say, hey, buddy, there's actually a better way. You know, instead of you buying my property, I've got three properties I know of that you could buy. I'm not going to tell him that, because at the end of the day, it's not my job to educate him. And some of you are going, wait a minute, dude, that's exactly what you do on the radio. You educate all of us. Okay, but at the end of the day, it's not my responsibility to educate everybody on the different modalities of investing and to tell everybody that the way we do it at Lifestyles Unlimited is the most effective way to do it. I just told anybody listening that's what we do, that's how we're effective. But at the end of the day, I'm not changing what I'm doing. I am still selling the asset that Tina and I acquired a couple years ago off a 1031 exchange, off another asset that we acquired many, many years ago. And at the end of the day, we're going to net a outstanding windfall on this property. So we're getting all the benefits of the different ways we make money in real estate. We are getting the cash flow that came in off the property. We're getting the equity capture when we bought the property, because we bought the property correctly. We're getting the principal pay down, because every month we make a mortgage payment, and part of that payment goes to reducing the equity that we owe on the asset. It's technically equity that the bank owes, but we're reducing that amount that we owe every month by paying that down. We got the advantages of natural appreciation, the fact that the property did go up in value over time. Now, it came down a little bit in value over time, but at the end of the day, we're still doubling our money. And then the tax benefits of being a real estate investor, the tax benefits are protecting the amount of money that we're receiving. And therefore, I can take the entire bundle of money and I can reapply it to other assets, and I can wash, rinse, repeat. This is how we make money in real estate. This is how I have been making money in real estate as a Lifestyles Unlimited member for the past 7 years. It's not rocket science, although we do have rocket scientists that are a part of our organization, because even in rocket science school, they don't teach you how to get yourself retired in 5 years or less. If you want to do what I'm doing, you want to do what the 50,000 members of Lifestyles Unlimited are doing, go to lifestylesunlimited.com, sign up for a free workshop, and let's get you going.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the host, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.